Welcome, listeners, to Spoiler Alert, a weekly talk radio show for movie and television lovers. Listeners, welcome to the final installment of our look at the works of director Ang Lee. We do like a pun thing where we come up with a name and it's like funny, and we've kind of been back and forth on this whole thing, but I, honestly, Sanj, I think that you hit absolute gold with Sprang Lee into Spring.
What?
You came up with Sprang Lee.
I forgot.
And I think Sprang Lee into Spring.
Sprang Lee into Spring.
Is the way to go.
Sprang forward. Opinions on these.
Sprang forward, Lee back.
I don't know.
We're still workshopping it, even though it's kind of technically over.
It's pretty much over.
It's pretty much over. It's got, this is the last time we'll talk about its name for the history of ever. Maybe not. I don't know. Maybe we won't rename things for the rest of time. You guys, hello.
Hi. How are you?
Hi.
I'm here in the booth with Sean and Sanj. What's new with you guys this week? It feels like winter might be done.
I don't know.
I think it's dangerous to say that.
Maybe.
I'm hot. It's cold. It's hot.
Well, hopefully,
Sean's going through the change.
I'm going through so many changes.
Hopefully everyone's good taking their raincoat, parka, and light sweater out every day to adjust as
literally
the
season. Honestly.
But as I said, we are rounding out our deep dive into Ang Lee movies. And this week, we have selected
The Cursed Three.
Some movies.
Some films.
The Accursed Three.
Anything.
Some movie.
Oh, very anything.
Yes. So we kind of just selected these three based on the fact that they're sort of ones that we felt should be talked about.
We were curious. What
and
we
also, maybe, like, I don't know. No one wanted to watch Gemini Man, and I think that that's a valid way to go. We know it's bad. It's not good, and that's okay. But we did select three movies. You guys, could we just react to the movies non-wordily for but a moment? So each, think of each film.
Is that good for radio?
Yeah. Well, no, we're going to make sounds. We're just not going to talk.
Auditory, but not verbal.
Yes. Okay. Yeah. So we're just think of each film and just sort of like give a thought of what it could be.
Okay.
Yeah.
Are we going in order?
I think it should just be a full battle royale, and we all just go. Okay, ready? Three, two, one.
No.
Was that Nick? Was that Nick Nolte?
Not orange juice.
Words, yeah, Nick Nolte.
That wasn't a word. That was just a sound that came out of my body.
Nick Nolte.
Allison Janney.
That for real.
Haven't you ever fallen down and just gone like Nick Nolte?
Nick Nolte.
Like, oh, Nick Nolte.
Oh, Nolte.
That must have happened to all
for
of us.
For sure.
Yeah, of course.
Oh my gosh.
You guys, before we talk about these specific films, how are we doing with this Ang Lee with this Ang Lee-a-thon?
Well, you know, we might have been able to put this in a different order.
Yeah,
we didn't end strong.
Not
on his strongest decade.
Yeah. I mean, and like after coming off of Sense and Sensibility, I think that's what's hurting me so bad.
I'm obsessed with the way that you're an SNS fangirl now.
I mean, okay. So, full sidebar, I don't know why we're talking about Pride and Prejudice at all at this point.
He said this last time.
I don't get it.
I'm not ready to go there with you. But
like,
I do
you can see how...
I can see an argument for that.
Yeah, like, there's a lot more going on.
That doesn't mean I agree.
Which one was written first?
You guys, we are robbing time from our three illustrious films.
I think Pride and Prejudice was written first.
I can see that. I can see it.
I could be wrong. I'll check.
You guys, what do we think of Ang Lee right now?
This man.
It's like when it hits, it hits.
It's true. I think that happens scene to scene.
Yeah,
it's
it does,
literally.
Especially in the Hulk.
Okay, well.
Just a lot of.
Not a lot of hits in that line, like, ironically.
But like, ups and downs.
Like if it was a baseball game, there'd be a lot of walks, is what you're saying.
Yeah. Well, the man is swinging. How about that?
There we go.
Yeah, yeah.
There we go.
He is not afraid to take aesthetic risks, choices. Mm-hmm.
Try things.
And yeah, like sometimes I think it's like when you take a big swing, it really, you know, magic can happen. And then sometimes you're like, you leave people completely shook and surprised.
The ice storm shooketh.
And wondering if you've just blacked out for a minute and you have to rewind the film to see if what you thought happened happened.
Yeah.
Anyway, you know, normal, totally normal, everyday, fun stuff.
This man has made me feel so many things in the last few weeks.
I'm glad we chose him.
Me too. Honestly, Aang, keep making films. Like, you gotta make some new stuff.
We know you're in a slump now, but...
You can do it.
Keep going.
We need you now more than ever.
The only way out is through.
You guys, I'm worried he's, like, out of magic.
No.
I think it might be. If we plotted a graph... What's the trend going to be?
It's because children don't believe in Ang Lee anymore, and he loses his magic.
Children, sing your Lee character.
Everybody clap.
Yeah. Maybe. Ooh, do you have to say his name 3 times?
Yes. Luckily, we've done that 1,000 times.
So many times.
We just have to come up with enough puns.
I don't know if we're going to be... I have a question. I don't know if we're going to be able to capture this. Why are these different?
What?
Like, why are these films different from the other... Like. I think there's an argument to be made that the set of films we watched this week were made by a different human person.
But the weird thing is you can see the through lines, like the father-son stuff, like father-child relationship is always a huge through line through all of his films.
Yes.
They're all here, like just sort
family.
Of...
family.
Yeah, and just people feeling like sort of distant from... their family, from like their
like
lives.
alienation.
I don't know. I said on the last show, I think everything's about expectations, and I think that there's some of that here, but I don't know if it's still there or not.
I think I could see him in all of these films, and that's part of why this week was really interesting to me, was even the parts that I was like, Aang, what are we doing here?
Yeah.
I could still see him.
I could see like
even
where we're trying to go. Yeah, sure.
But do you think, like, this is where it all comes and circles this question for me. Is he a writer? Like, that's the thing.
But he didn't write them.
He wrote some other, like, his earliest work, which I think is his strongest, honestly.
Yeah.
He did write. And then it started to fall off.
Well, but James like, Sheamus, who's, like, the producer who he's primarily worked with in the States. Jay Shame was involved in, like, at least... The Wedding Banquet and Eat, Drink, Pan, Woman, I think. Maybe not Pushing Hands, writing-wise. But he also wrote, like, he wrote the adaptation of The Ice Storm, which is adapted from a novel.
Mm-hmm. Which I actually liked.
Me too.
By the way.
It wasn't for me.
And then I think was involved with Life of Pi as well, if I'm not mistaken.
Right, but all of these are from another thing.
Yeah.
And, like, I do think Sense and Sensibility is special because it was written... and rewritten both very tense ways, right? Like that work was put in, even if not by Aang. But I'm wondering if this is the thing I'm not into.
What?
I'm not saying it's bad.
What's the thing?
Where he doesn't take full control over the whole through line.
I can see, and obviously we know that projects get completely studio-fied, and like, who knows what his
100%,
what his end goal wanted to be for any of these films. He could have seen all of them unravel before his eyes. I don't know.
Mm-hmm. That's true. Let's get into it.
Yeah, we got it.
Questions we can't answer. Does anyone have a particular order that we think we should approach this in?
Should we go chronologically again? I think we have been.
Yeah, that's
Chron.
Which one was first?
Chron Lodge.
Ice Storm, 1997.
Yeah. I believe I chose this movie.
I guess.
I had heard good things about it.
Yeah.
And I heard it was really interesting. The Ice Storm is about a Connecticut family. Who
Connecticut
in the 70s? We
thank
should
you, thank
1973
you. Yes,
because I actually was quite a while in before I was like, oh, it's the 70s.
The Nixon stuff didn't.
Well, it was it was when Kevin Klein first arrives on screen, and I was like, what is he wearing? And then I was like, oh, it's the 70s.
But his wife's character's suit pantsuit you would buy and wear tomorrow, though. Right?
Oh yeah,
that was 100%. I saw Sean in it.
That Bob I'm wearing right now.
I was like, just like, oh man, like
F.A.
that's,
Bob.
Yeah,
how many, can't say it on the radio.
How many sashes do you own? It's not enough.
I was just gifted a sash.
The limit does not exist.
Oh yeah, it's certainly not enough. Anyway, it's kind of about a family that I'm going to just say is bored. Like that is what I'm going to define their situation as.
I would say two families.
True, there are two. They're neighbors, right? So there is Kevin Klein, And I don't
know. Joan Allen.
Thank you.
Who slays.
Yeah, she truly does.
She. They didn't give her enough.
I know, but she chewed with what she had.
And then a young Christina Ricci.
Yeah.
And a young Toby McGuire. Who's like 13, but also 25.
Yeah, I think he's supposed to be like 20.
No, he's 19. Supposed to be 16.
He's like at, he's like
oh, it's
not
boarding?
At university.
Yes.
It's boarding school.
College. No, no, no.
Oh, no, that makes it worse.
It's so much worse. Yes.
Oh, no.
And like, it's, anyway, it's just very confusing. The other family is, I don't know if the husband is anyone.
I have no idea who that husband is.
Yes. But the wife, Sigourney Weaver, also does a great job.
Slay.
And then
their
oldest
kid, Frodo.
Oldest son, Frodo. And then their youngest, Sam.
Weirdly.
I thought they were friends for like most of the movie. I thought he was just his bestie. And then I was like, this makes
God.
More sense.
And also,
Alan Parrish from Jumanji. Young Alan Parrish.
Oh.
Did you guys notice that? Or?
No, I didn't.
I couldn't unsee it.
You couldn't. There was the scene at the start where they're at that dinner party. And the youngest brother is like pouring wine.
Yeah.
And that was the most awkward thing
it was
I've ever seen in my life.
Like, do they work
no, that
for
was
you?
Elijah.
Why are you...
That was Elijah Wood.
Was it?
Yeah.
No, I thought it was the other brother.
I'm 80% sure.
They were both there. Anyway.
Why are your children pouring the wine for you like weird servants?
And like they're like ignoring them. They're like they're the help.
Like they didn't act like they could see them. And
it's
also
so
if
weird.
Young Elijah Wood is chilling.
It's strange.
He's really scary.
He ate it up in this film.
I was frightened to look upon him.
Anyway, the film is about these families' various dysfunctions and how they implode and interact with each other in most often sexual ways.
Adulterous ways.
Yes. And it spills into the kids' lives in awkward and weird ways. And people make decisions that I believe to not be human.
Confounding.
But are just like shocking and weird. It mostly just explores ick in various ways.
I felt ick in many ways.
It's giving late 20th century American novel.
100%. Oh, very much.
Giving.
Very much.
It's giving Philip Roth.
Yes. I think that's a...
But I thought a lot of the choices were very human, actually.
I can see the Ang Lee of it in terms of, like, the realism, where, like, there are a lot of just, like, following around and, like, all of this stuff. We swap very beautiful Brokeback Mountain scenery for Connecticut. Like,
I thought there was some beautiful stuff with the ice, though.
It did get a little experimental, and I thought it was kind of weird a couple times.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Just a couple? You just mean the visual?
No, sometimes I thought it worked.
Yeah.
But also...
I see.
Yeah, like, I just, like, thought it...
But I also was like, choices. Is the ice storms... What is the significance? They're just like, it's the ice storm. I don't know. I was like, is this something to do with what is happening between these families?
I think it's a metaphor.
I know, but I'm like, representing what?
The all of the kind of interweaving things coming to a head.
True.
Yes. And they are all stuck, right? Like, that is why they're all doing these things that are like, not necessarily unhinged, but certainly from a normal Connecticut family level.
Well, from the ideal functional family perspective. And I think, like, I watched part of a really interesting interview with Ang Lee and James Shamus and the writer of the novel, whose name I can't remember. I think Rick Moody, maybe?
Mm-hmm.
And Ang was saying, we're on a first name basis.
Yeah. Tell us what Ang
was saying. Lee was saying that... For him, it's always about the family because the family is like a microcosm of the social stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And so he was particularly interested in this idea of, like, that is from the novel, of, like, the things that America was reckoning with in the 70s, you know, like post the 60s, post all of that idealism, like they're like losing the war in Vietnam. Like reckoning with like Watergate. And then he said this really interesting thing about how like basically the sexual revolution, quote unquote, it basically took that long to kind of reach like middle America, right? Mm-hmm. It was like, you know, California and like the coast, the big cities that like went through it in the 60s, but then by the 70s that had like reached America. And so this idea of like all these questions about kind of the basic assumptions of life and how you structure a family and how you structure a society. So that's like what he's exploring and is often exploring is like that idea of like the family as a microcosm for the social. And I feel like that was super effective for me.
But the thing I thought was weird, and I'm wondering, I feel like this would fix it for me, and I don't know if it's true, but if it took place over 5 years.
Yeah, I think we aged these kids up a bit.
Like, but like we see like this whole span, right? Like, and like maybe the family like fight and come together a bit more, because that really worked in Brokeback Mountain. I'm going to compare it to another thing. And like I felt like the things that were explosive and like big there made sense because of that pace.
Mm.
Whereas I think this is like a Thanksgiving weekend.
It is, yeah.
Right? Like it's this super tight, like...
almost like a play.
Probably, yeah.
That's it, what it reminds you.
That seems...
And
that tracks, bro.
Makes sense. Well, that
tracks,
it.
Bro.
But for me, because for me, I like that. I like the idea of like kind of in media res, like... you come in right before the climax.
Yes. hello.
Hello.
Whoa. Okay.
And so, yeah, because for me, like, from the very beginning, you're like, oh, something's afoot. You're like, oh, no.
Something is simmering.
It's simmering. And, like, every like little thread, he's so masterful, I think, and like,
just, like,
introducing certain
unease.
Little threads.
Yeah, whenever like, something's happening, and then it's just, like, something a little off, like, just puts you at,
yeah,
not at ease.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then, but then how effective he is at, like, giving you the information you need in obvious ways. So, like, right away at the dinner party, so, I mean, spoiler alert, Kevin Kline and Sigourney Weaver are having an affair.
Whoa.
And, like, I feel like I knew that from 30 seconds into the, like, dinner party scene. Like, you there mean- was, like, a tense glance exchanged by the two wives, and I was like, oh.
It wasn't the moment where she very comfortably wipes off his crotch.
No, that was when I knew for sure. That was when I was like, okay, affair confirmed. But no, like even before that.
Mm-hmm.
But then there were lots of other things where I would go, ooh, that's foreshadowing. That's going to come back. And then it didn't.
Mm-hmm.
So I think he's so good at like planting the stuff he wants you to know, but not being super obvious about the other stuff. If that makes sense.
Maybe. Yeah. I don't know.
That's how I feel.
Like the David Krumholtz of it all.
Yeah.
Like, just like, oh, he's going to try to steal baby Katie Holmes. And, oh, surprise, he tries to.
Yeah.
Yeah. I feel like I want to talk about Christina Ricci. Always do.
Yeah, for sure.
She is like 14 or something.
Oh, my goodness.
She plays these sort of sexual games with her friends. The two boys that live next door, Elijah Wood and the other one. And Frodo and Sam, yeah. She plays weird sexy games with them. And just like the way that they are obsessed with her, there's a lingering shot of her goose pimply butt crack that one boy is like obsessed
and
with, like looking at it bad.
That feels so real to me though.
And just like her, there was a shot where she's like doing some real pervy things, and they showed her hands, and they are just like a teeny weeny, like little chubby child's hands.
Yeah, it's
uncomfortable. I was like, this is weird.
Yes.
I didn't appreciate that.
No.
Yeah, it was tough.
And she just like, as a character, I'm like, where is she getting this attitude from?
Well, like, but that's the thing is like, to me, it actually makes so much sense that she would be like that. With all the stuff like simmering in her family,
yeah,
and like within her neighborhood, like within the country, like, and I think it's that thing of like we underestimate how much kids are absorbing and know. And she's also positioned as this very like, you know, mature for her age figure. Like she's one of those kind of girls who like, you know, is precocious or whatever, and is always like lecturing them all about
right.
all these really specific heart like injustices
she's
around the
world.
She's
the one mad that Nixon's being turned off the TV.
Yeah, I related to her character at times. And she's like lecturing her family about Darfur.
Yeah,
around the table, and they're like,
"Can we
just
shut
eat?"
Off.
I was like, "Yeah, it is like that." But I don't know. Like, it's interesting, but yeah, awful to watch.
True, I felt like things got a little like caricature-ish.
Mm.
I think that's what they meant to do. Like,
yeah.
I don't think that that was, but I do like, I just lost the realism of it. And like your play piece is very apt. I feel Sanj still makes me still like it.
Dramatic.
I did a good job, but I was just like, eh. Like I would have liked
so
to.
So interesting.
There was just like such a devastating emptiness to like all of the characters. Yeah. Just trying to like find something. Like maybe if I go to this weird key party, maybe if I shoplift from this drugstore, that like something will happen. And it's imagine a more awkward space than that Connecticut Key Party in that other room. Oof.
That
can't.
And like, of course, there had to be a fat joke. Just snuck in.
Oh, yeah.
There's
like,
the one fat lady, and all the husbands
and everyone's
are like, trying not to pick her keys.
Yeah.
I was like, Aang!
Aang.
Dang.
Dang. I was right with you.
Anyway, I feel like
we have to move on.
Well, we do have to move on, but we should have some words.
Oh.
Okay. I don't think the ice party.
Okay.
Well,
the ice party. No, anyway. I don't think The Ice Storm is a bad movie. I don't know if I liked it. Maybe I have to think about it for a few
months. It's hard to enjoy, I would say.
Yeah, oh, yes. Oh, certainly.
It's not much of a... I wouldn't rewatch it a ton, mm-hmm. but I did enjoy its sort of moodiness.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I liked it, I think.
I did, too.
I don't know if it's... I don't know. It might
That's
be a
fine.
Lot.
In comparison to a few other clunkers I watched recently, wow. so...
Yeah.
No. Well, the next movie we're going to talk about is definitely worse. Mm-hmm. And that is, of course, Life of Hulk.
Life of Hulk.
He got us.
No, we're talking about Hulk. It's next sequentially.
2003?
Yeah. Who picked the Hulk?
I think this one, it was kind of... Well, first I picked Taking Woodstock, and I watched Taking Woodstock and then immediately said, we can't watch this. It's the worst film I've ever seen.
Thank you, Sean.
Not even in a fun way.
Thank you for taking that bullet.
So then I was like, but I am curious to watch the Hulk.
Is it better?
Because it's so funny, just the way that it sits right in the middle of these crown jewels.
Yeah.
It's like Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon, Hulk, Brokeback Mountain. What was going on in this space and time? But anyway, so there's this guy, and he gets his father is a, I don't know, some scientist. Mm-hmm. He's the opening of this.
You wouldn't
believe the opening of this. But anyway, his father is like a scientist, and he injects himself with Hulk juice, and it transfers to his baby, and then his baby, he tries to kill the baby, because then he's like, oh my god, maybe I created a monster. things happen, the baby is adopted by someone else, Nick Nolte grows up, has three weird dogs, and then he is trying to like connect to him, and be like, hey...
As a janitor,
at the science place that he works at, and... now Eric Bana is an adult. He falls in love with Jennifer Connelly, and they just fight it. They fight the dogs. They fight Nick Nolte. He gets big and green. You know what it's about.
Yeah, Hulk smash.
But like you guys, the opening.
Hulk pass.
Eric Bana.
The opening of this film is a montage that you can't wrap your head around. It's just like a variety of words I wrote down. It was just like, no human subjects. David, I have wonderful news. You have no right stooping on my project. Failsafe has been initiated. David, no. It's just like flash, like 5 years crammed into one thing. Mm-hmm. Just injecting a baby.
Yeah.
Trying to stab a wife. Like a military man.
Like, these like really
saying,
audacious
you're off the case.
Like wipes and like cuts and like
it looked
visual.
It
like,
was filmed like a CSI, like a procedural. Yeah. It looks like a CSI like episode.
Well, but like it is... They are comic book panels.
Yes,
like,
that's the thing.
Like, we get the, it persists. It
does not nevertheless.
End. It's not an opener. It's the whole time.
And still he rises. You're right. He was doing some stylistic choices for sure. He was doing a lot of split screen.
Yeah.
Comic booky. There was a moment where he's looking at a photograph, and then all of a sudden, the photograph starts moving, and we go inside it.
Mm-hmm.
Harry Potter style.
He made some. He was like, "I've got the tech. Why aren't I using it?"
Mm-hmm.
And that is something about Aang.
He uses stuff.
He's gonna try it out. He's gonna use it.
He's gonna use it. Before I dump on this movie super hard. If they made this 20 years later. Do you think it would have saved it?
Kinda.
Maybe, hey?
The graphics?
I thought about that the whole time.
Yeah.
Yeah, when they tried a lot to keep you to stop looking at his face, but when you focused on it, you're like, uh-oh.
Yeah.
There's Eric Bana, and my God.
Eric, what happened to you?
You know in Hunger Games when those dogs, like... when the kids get killed and then they turn into like a mutt.
Yeah, yes.
That's what he kind of looks like. Just like a little bit like Eric Bana, like in an eerie way.
I think I'm pretty sure that they did not do that for this movie and that you're just bringing that in there.
He did look like him.
No, they didn't, because that was a big thing when they did the next Hulk, is they said, we're making it look like the actor. And they put effort into it then.
Kate.
What?
Yeah, there was a very big moment. Yeah,
it kind of doesn't look like him.
I think you're just bringing that to the party here, dude.
Kate, but Jennifer Connelly recognized him in a second.
Well,
she was like, David.
The eyes.
Okay,
that was her direction, Sean.
The love.
Anyway, I don't know if that's true.
I feel crazy. I feel like I need to look him up again.
I can't say for sure, but yeah, I kind of was like, Is that him? Like, I was like, it doesn't look like him.
I don't think it's him.
It doesn't matter. It looks bad, whatever it is.
I think, like, the shade of green that character is on the screen.
Yeah.
Like, I looked at my fridge, which is behind my television, and it was green. Like, it reflected much green out into the...
Oh.
And I think they were just like, I think this is, like, a comic book movie and why it's bad. Does that make sense?
If he went more like comic booky, it went far, but maybe didn't go far enough.
Maybe?
I don't know.
But are you saying it went too far?
I'm saying that this is why things don't necessarily translate.
Mm.
Like, for a lot of the shots, with the writing at the start, I have seen that in comic books and it is fine. And it is, like, kind of wild to see it in a movie. Like, you know what I mean?
But, like, do you feel that way about, like, Sin City?
A little bit.
Okay, like, She-Hulk kind of tries to do, like, a real comic booky situation as well.
Mm-hmm. But better.
And she is his cousin, iconically.
Come through tat.
I guess that's the other Hulk. Who knows?
Wait, what?
Well,
is this just Marvel lore? I don't know.
She-Hulk is the cousin of other
Hulk. Of David Banner.
But yeah, of David Banner, not Eric Banner. Banner.
Thank you.
Also,
David.
His dad.
Okay. Yeah. Okay.
Who's David?
I was like, where did I get that?
But we get a lot of the Ang Lee of it all.
Yeah.
Like, we get that father-son
stuff.
We get, like, the
creeping
sort of, like,
around.
Found family situation.
Yeah.
There's a lot that, like, comes in.
Even though his friend just really disappeared after he took the bullet for him. And we're like, I guess we'll never see that friend again.
Nope, that's he's
I
done.
I forgot about that.
Mm-hmm. And father, they're like, son or father kid stuff with Jennifer Connelly too. She's got a real piece of work.
Mm-hmm.
Sam Elliott is her really hot military dad.
Colonel Zaddy.
Reporting for duty.
Colonel Zaddy reporting for daddy. I don't know.
I thought you were going to say booty.
That's
okay. As an aside,
Colonel Zaddy reporting for booty.
As an aside about booty, when did you guys notice when he first starts morphing into the Hulk, the first thing that goes is his butt just, like, explodes. His dumper flies out of those pants.
Which, like, I maybe shouldn't say this on the radio. It's a specific community that's into that kind of thing.
Butt stuff, yeah.
It's called inflation.
Oh, my God. Okay.
And
wait.
I'll tell you guys off air.
Okay.
Anyway, that's what it made me think about. I was like, did someone sneak this
on
in
staff?
Here?
Wow.
Well, I'm
Robitussin.
On that note, we're just gonna jump into a little commercial break so Sonia can let us know what's going on. You're listening to Spoiler Alert on 91.3 FM CJTR Regina Community Radio, tuned into the community. Welcome back to Spoiler Alert. You're listening to part two, even though there is some theme song there.
Whoops.
Sean and I just learned some stuff. We're talking about Ang Lee movies. We're having a good time. We're mid-Hulk talk. But before we continue talking about the Hulk, does anyone know what time it is?
It's time for me to learn how to use our computer after 6 years.
Sonia, you know what's happening. It's fine.
Don't beat yourself up.
We've all had little pitfalls. It's not a big deal.
Don't make us angry.
God,
you wouldn't like Sean when he's upset about
when
the board.
Exactly. When he's angry.
Yeah, jeez.
Okay, I'm done. I'm done.
That's so good. Why are we thinking of these so late? It's game time, people.
Whoa! No,
I love Jeremy. When, I love when I don't warn you.
Oh no! For those who don't know, or if you're just tuning in, the game is where I spend 5 seconds this week looking for a title related to our topic, and I hope that these two don't know what it's about.
Well, are we scraping the barrel here?
We are. Like, it's getting rough.
How many films does this man have?
Actually, like not a ton. And well, like a lot, a lifetime of work, but also you're familiar with so much of it by this point. I tell them the title. They tell me what they think it's about. I tell them what it's really about. You guys ready to play the game?
I'm ready.
This week's title is Fine Line.
Ooh.
That title again, Fine Line.
Ooh.
Okay. I think I got something.
Okay.
You want me to go?
Yes, no,
I feel like I always make you go first.
No, go.
Okay, I think Fine Line is a short. I learned from last week. I learned from last week.
They all shorts, yeah.
They all shorts. Because we know the features. About an animator who has recently moved to the States from, say, Taiwan. I don't know. And he is having trouble adjusting to his new context and is, like, sort of expressing that through his art. It's coming through as, like, frustrated art. And then I think he, like, has a meet cute, like a friend meet cute with, I'm going to say an old woman, an old grandma. Yeah. Oh. And then she kind of like an American grandma. And then it's kind of about their like budding friendship and how that helps him to then kind of break through his block and start making his art again.
Wow.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you very much.
I believe it is about a woman. It is a short. Mm-hmm. And it's about a woman that lives with her husband in a very sort of traditional marriage. She's very trad wife. She bakes. She prepares everything for him. She dotes on him hand and foot. And she doesn't even realize that she's sort of pushing down her own ambitions and her own feelings. And then one day in the mirror, she just spots one fine line on her forehead. And she says, oh my God, she's freaking out about what he'll think. Then she's also like, what am I doing? And it sort of dissolves her entire life, blows it up. And she thinks about things in a way, different way, and just becomes a single gal on her own, tackling this new world. Because of this fine line.
Wow. Okay.
I'm looking at the line in the mirror.
Forehead. Oh, yeah.
Thank you both for not only your ideas, but also your musical interlude.
Thank you.
Of course.
Thank you. Thank you both. Wrong and Always Show performs.
No.
There is a thing on IMDb, which I will now
Internet
read.
Movie Database?
Yeah,
you use it?
Right to the source, baby. I will read in its entirety.
Okay.
Ang Lee's award-winning thesis film from NYU parallels a young man running from the mafia and a young Taiwanese woman hiding from the INS. They end up meeting and crossing over together to New Jersey.
Oh.
The title refers to Manhattan's Canal Street, which separates Chinatown from Little Italy.
Okay. I got some like themes.
Yeah, no, you both are in the ballpark. Like it's not, but I'd still
it's no points. I just needed validation.
You're not, don't feel like I'm in the ballpark, but
no, I think you're
Thank
there.
You.
I think it's about
four. No, let's go.
we're of course talking about Ang Lee's masterpiece, the
thesis.
Hulk.
Talk about thesis statement.
Thesis statement, the Hulk. What else do we have to say about this?
Yeah,
we can't not talk about the dog fight.
Is that what you want to?
What about
what you
it?
Talk about?
It looked one of the worst things I've ever seen.
It was crazy. It
dog
was so crazy.
It looked dog poo poo. So Nick Nolte has these three dogs, and then he's like. they're like a poodle, and like he's got three
random
funny little dogs.
Mm-hmm.
And then he's like, go kill Jennifer Connelly. And then by shadow, we see the dogs transform into Hulk versions of them.
Hulk dogs.
And then they go to Jennifer Connelly's beautiful cabin by the lake. And just as the Hulk, Eric Bana himself, arrives, and the insane now Hulkified dogs show up, and he has a disgusting fight with them where he brutally kills all three of them.
Yeah.
And they're barking and they're whining.
I'll be honest, I sort of watched a glance.
He smashed them through windows. He snapped their heads. Yeah, it was so gross.
It is this whole thing, though, that, like, the Hulk is supposed to be, like, this force of nature. And because of that, we have to get it all from Bruce Banner?
Yeah, Bruce.
Yeah, yes. And I feel like Eric Bana fighting those dogs is the most ridiculous thing I've ever.
That man. Are we doing this now?
We would listen to you.
Which man?
Eric Bana.
Oh, okay.
Put in the work on this film.
Honestly?
And I'm not here to say that it was always good. But he went there. Like, I was like, sir, are you planning to win an Oscar for this?
Did you call him?
I said, Eric, what? You didn't have to go so hard, but
I would argue Jennifer Connelly also was like, I'm not treating this seriously either.
She got to work and said, oh, Eric's coming for the paycheck.
I'll do it, too.
I will, too. And she wasn't wrong, too.
Yeah, and I, like, who knows how they got on here? They're like, Ang Lee's making a film. And they're mm-hmm. like, great, I'm in. Then they're like, uh-oh, you're in...
uh-oh, it's bad.
Uh-oh, you're in a weirdo costume.
But, like, he just was at... I feel like he was at 11 the whole time. Am I wrong?
I feel like he was doing a Nicolas Cage impression.
Yeah.
And that's not a good thing.
But I kind of liked it. Like, I don't know. There were times when I was just like, wow, okay, that was a choice, Eric.
Are you talking about especially when Nick and Eric faced off at the end?
Yeah.
Yeah. And he was like,
so he said, daddy issues?
Oh,
they're coming to the fore.
They're coming to the fore.
Please welcome to the floor, daddy issues.
Both of these guys are both nodding so hard. I think you like
get
this
on
movie.
Board.
I don't know.
I
like
you both like this
I
movie.
Didn't like this
no,
movie.
No, I felt
like
I have to
make that known. I did not enjoy this movie.
I do think it might be one of Nick Nolte's best performances, which is also a very weird thing to say.
It is.
But it's, I don't know.
But he also went hard.
Everyone did.
Yeah, you know what? Actually, let me just retract my earlier statement. Everyone,
I think that was
putting in the work.
Yes,
and I wonder if that's the Aang effect, because what I've heard over these 3 weeks from multiple sources, from like especially interviews with actors who've worked with him,
he gets the performance.
He does not f around.
Not f.
He's not kidding around. He like does. He's intense, is what it sounds like.
Yeah.
Like for the ice storm.
Mm-hmm.
He created a huge 3-ring binder of research about the 70s, like the whole social context of the 70s for himself, but then gave it to the actors and was like, you also need to do the homework.
He tastes Elijah Wood himself.
Right. Basically, probably for the method. But so I'm like, I kind of think he brought his Aang intensity to it.
Maybe.
Intensity.
There is a friction within me that exists.
Have you gone to the doctor?
Of course. But, like, I don't know if I like... Well, I don't know if I like any of these movies. But there are very different Hulk movies that were made and came out that are not Ang Lee movies. And I don't know how they're worse in a different way.
But you think they are worse?
I don't. Maybe I don't know.
I haven't seen any of them.
I don't know. It's crazy.
I think I've seen one Ruffalo.
It's just such a crazy thing. One Ruffalo.
One Ruffalo.
And I did. There were a few times where I was like, I wish Mark Ruffalo was here.
But that was the
There was a moment when I was watching this. I was like, did this start the Marvel movie train moving? But
it kind of might have.
But I think there was Spider Man stuff. I think before.
Spider Man first.
Iron Man wasn't until like 2008.
Iron Man was the start of the MCU proper. Like
was
the first. Yeah, but it was like. There's a whole bunch of stuff about you can't make comic book movies, and they made the Hulk, and they were like, yes, see? And, like, that was...
That's interesting.
Yeah. So, but Spider-Man was, like, huge.
Yeah.
Huge. So...
Speaking of Tobey Maguire.
Am I right?
Very different roles.
Let's just jump into this.
And Tobey Maguire was asked to play in Life of Pi. Just kidding.
I was going to say, jump into this.
He was supposed to play.
Not Justin Trudeau.
Oh, God. We do have to move on to our third and final film of the day, which is Life of Pi. Just a blanket statement before we start. Mm. I really don't like the story before the movie. And, like, I know that that's not fair, but that is just my...
Yeah. Jeremy hates
He's like more like authors. Yon Martell.
No,
okay.
I think he did literally say that last time.
Oh, wait.
That was my
teacher. Yeah, Dan. No,
I want to cite the sources. Dwayne, aren't that is your joke, sir?
No, Dwayne.
Yeah, cite your sources, Jeremy.
I think if I was...
sources.
I actually... don't like most of the things I was forced to read. Like, that is the... And, like, I'll recognize that I'm bringing that to a party. Like, it's not it's a... Anyway.
And also, your wife is such a voracious reader that you two are really Jack Spratt's wife with,
I don't think she likes it.
Okay. Well, I'll introduce this one since you guys did the other two. So, this is from 2012. It's an adaptation of Yann Martell's Life of Pi. It tells the story of Pi...
careful.
Piscean Moriachar. I forget the full word. Basically, Pi is an Indian teen who is named after a French swimming pool because he was born in the French colony of Pondicherry. And it's about his sort of like childhood journey through the land of religion, where he basically decides that he's a Catholic, a Muslim, and a Hindu. And his father's like...
Bruh.
His father's having none of that. And his family owns a zoo. And then one day, his father decides that they're going to sell the zoo and move to Canada for a better life.
Specifically Winnipeg.
Winnipeg, which is like, uh-oh.
Huge trade-up. Huge, yeah.
Uh-oh. You're not going to love that. On the way, they're on a ship, and
guess what?
Storm. And basically, Pi ends up on a lifeboat with an orangutan, a zebra, a hyena, and, spoiler alert, Richard the Tiger.
Richard Parker the Tiger.
And technically a rat.
Technically also a rat. Thank you, Jer. And occasionally
a bunch of
some
fish.
Flying fish. Yep. Should we just keep going?
Yeah. It's just funny because it's like...
some crackers.
Sorry... the chances of, how are we getting these animals on here? And I know it's because it's God. I know it's God. God is here.
Well, and it's unclear whether... Okay.
God is with us.
I guess. he survives. Spoiler alert. Spoiler alert. Pi survives.
He does.
By being just so resourceful. Alongside Richard Parker the Tiger.
Mm-hmm.
And then eventually...
After Richard slays the house down with everyone else. Boots.
Slays the house down deep. He eventually winds up on this magical floating island and then gets rescued, right?
You skip a lot.
Well, he leaves the island.
Yeah, But like a lot, most of the movie, he's on the lifeboat with Richard Parker.
Right.
Contemplating life.
They find a way to get along without eating each other.
Yeah. It involves urine.
Yeah.
It's nature for you.
I mean, honestly, one of the biggest things that took me out of this was how clean that boat was every time.
There's like... 5 dead bodies in this boat, and it's clean as a whistle. And I guess it's like would be disgusting if there was just carcasses rotting on the boat. But
and then at the very end, there's this like frame device this journalist who's interviewing grown-up Pi about his experience. Mm-hmm. And at the very end, it gets revealed that some insurance agents in Canada do not believe Pi that he survived on a lifeboat with a tiger for all that time. I think it's like 200 days or something.
Yeah, 260 or 70 days.
So like most of a year. Mm-hmm. And the kind of question comes up, we get this
retelling. A believable story.
Of actually the animals are stand-ins for people. So like the orangutan was Pi's mother. The hyena was a like guard from the ship.
Chef.
Chef, sorry.
Gerard Depardieu. Do.
Mm-hmm. I might get the
excellent
pronunciation.
Casting choice, by the way.
A lot of good casting in the film. Such a good, And so it sort of is this question. It remains this question at the end, and I don't think there's even an answer to the question.
Mm-hmm.
Was he really on the lifeboat with a tiger, or is that sort of him dealing with his trauma mm-hmm. by making this new story about the animals?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Pi is the tiger in the...
And Pi is the tiger.
Then the zebra is another character.
A random injured man.
Right. Yeah, because then in this flashback, Gerard Depardieu... Spoiler, eats his mom.
Right.
Well, and I thought that we were going to get treated to an insane flashback, and I was like, I didn't really want to see that.
Yeah.
So.
Mm-hmm.
So we see all the stuff with the animals, and then the realer story with the people, we actually just get through dialogue at the end, which is a big spoiler. Yeah. Which I think...
Oh, and do we get dialogue in this? We open with... so much exposition, just voiceover exposition.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I know it's like because of the book, I guess, but many people find ways to let you know
to
what's going on.
Show not tell. It would be, I get that it would be very hard to
set this up.
Yeah, to squeeze mm-hmm. that in because it is such a like philosophical, conceptual book. Like, because in the book, it's written. Too. Like,
is
it's
it?
Told that way, kind of.
No,
it's pictures. It's all, it's a comic book. What did you guys think?
It was okay.
I guess, what do I say? It was, a lot of it was just like a child sitting in a pile of CGI.
Yes.
That was like, sometimes I was like, I know. And like, the visuals is kind of what the selling point. Everyone's like, mm-hmm. oh my God, the visuals are crazy. And maybe the visuals are dated, or like, and I kind of did see the visual magic and aesthetic that he wanted to do. Mm-hmm. But it a little bit was like Jungle Book-y, where mm-hmm. it's just like, there's a random kid and he's in the middle of computers.
For me, it really fell off with the animals, because like, they had, I don't know if you guys saw the thing, like the stage with the boat in the water, and it was very cool, and it was actually like very ahead of its time for
that looked crazy.
Yeah, I want to see it.
Oh, is there like an actual to film it, they had this like huge tank of water with the boat in it, and then stuff behind it and lights, and anyway,
there's like an amazing stage show where like use like puppeteer kind of things to make and it looks crazy.
Oh, interesting. Okay, I would be interested in seeing that. Anyway, the fact that this is not a hand-drawn animated movie constantly gnaws at me. Like, I just, like, we could have, like, washed over everything, still had a very beautiful, like, we could have done all of the stuff.
Like, if it was, like, a Miyazaki.
I'm me trying to get that out.
But I love the parallel thought that we just had.
Yeah,
or, like, a Disney. You're, like, everything just needed to be the same sort of thing.
Yeah.
And then the other thing, and I cannot remember this from the book. I may have pushed away from my mind. But did you guys feel like the part one was like the back and forth of the interview? And then part two is like all on
the boat.
We're
all on the boat, yeah.
Except for one specific part where it gets pulled back out and then goes back again.
Yeah, when we're on the boat, we're on the boat.
Like, it just, like, I don't know. It just felt like a weird pacing thing to me.
Huh.
And, like, I get that they had to get back to the interview, but they did it, like, when he gets to the island, not when he leaves the island.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
And I just thought it was such a weird scene. Like, I was actually just shocked by it. Because it was just such a weird time to kick back and, like, either do it, you know, do it or not. But, anyway.
Well, because he gets to, like, the weird floating island or, like, actually, like, Mexico when he finally is.
Like, he's on the boat and we don't go to the present for a very long time.
Right.
Right? We just see the boat and we got kind of get into everything where we, like, lose the narration and it's just him experiencing stuff on the boat. I cannot remember the lead actor's name.
Siraj.
He does do an amazing job, I feel.
Oh, like the boy?
He's not. And then there's a super weird scene where it cuts back to them in the interview. They talk about the island, and then it comes back to the island.
Yeah.
And then we see the island stuff, and then we, like, because the end of the story is him calling Richard Parker back to the boat. Kind of.
Right, yeah.
Yeah.
Right, and then, like, the next scene, he's washed ashore or whatever.
Yeah, like, I think the scene from betwixt the magical floating island and then actually floating up onto Mexico, I was like, wait, you you just, like, that happened so easily.
Mm-hmm.
I assumed that there was going to be a lot more. The journey from there to being mm-hmm. actually saved, it felt fairly anticlimactic, kind of.
Well, because I think that's not the actual point, kind of. Like, the it's not actually the, like, kind of adventure story of him surviving the boat.
It's a survival story, not an adventure story.
But it's also not really a survival story. It's a philosophical story. Like, it's more about the faith, the exploration of faith, than the actual story.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I think.
Yeah.
Well, and actually, I don't just think that. Aang literally said that. He basically said, he was like, what I want to do is, how do I couch this, like, complicated conceptual art and trick people into it being an adventure story, which I think is interesting and kind of shines through and is part of maybe some of the issues
maybe
that he was trying to do both. But I also love him for trying to do both, and that's what I love about Aang. He really is like listen, I'm gonna give you art, I'm gonna make this art, even if it's not good all the time. But, like, this comic book movie, this is art now. Like, this adventure story, this is art now. And I love that about him. He's like, I'm putting deep stuff in here, and I don't care what you say. I love it.
Yes. He, yeah, I don't know. What is the last film he made, Gemini Man? Is he out?
I think that's, yes. And then he's working on the one about Muhammad Ali.
Oh, yeah, about the...
The fight.
The Rumble, what is it?
Rumble in Manila.
Thriller.
Right? I was thinking of the Rumble Down Under, but that's a Thunder Down Under, and that's a male strip show.
I would love to see Aang's take on that.
Oh, honestly, Aang Lee's Magic Mike.
Oh, beautiful.
Would watch.
Beautiful.
Anyway, we have eight minutes left of, well, no, it's 8 minutes left to talk about maybe all of Aang Lee's stuff. We'll sum it all up in.
Okay, I just wanted to just like to say that M. Night Shyamalan was approached first because they're like, oh, a twist.
Like, that's who's well, because
let's give it to our
it
twisty
is kind
girl.
Of a twist.
Yeah, but he was like, I think people
we would have seen a third. We would have version of the boat.
Oh
with
my
the people,
god!
100%.
Yeah, you're
we
right.
Seen that.
Yeah. Oh yeah. We would have seen the exact same thing that he did in the boat, but like reenacted with the people.
Mm-hmm.
We would have seen Gerard and Mom going at it.
Which I'm really happy we didn't.
Way. Yeah.
I think that was the most interesting choice, right? To like have this thing, like have the story be the story, even though that might be what happened.
Yeah.
Right? Like, that, I think, is the... And I think, Sanj, that kind of, like, leans into what you were talking about in terms of, like, his approach to things.
Yeah.
Because I do think that after these weeks, we all just, like, do appreciate Aang Lee.
Oh.
Yeah. In a...
I'm a Fang. I'm a big Fang.
I'm a Fang Lee.
I do worry, especially having seen Gemini Man, if it is, like... He just gets, like, interested in the thing and explores that subject.
Mm.
And like you said, good or bad, we're going to see what happens. And...
But I want to... I'm like, let's give him more. Like, someone dig up some good books for Aang to adapt. Because I want it.
Or just let him like, on
something. Yeah, or, yeah, back to his roots of...
Like, a part of me just wants to see him film someone cook something for 2 hours.
Yeah. think back to...
Like that, like, I feel like we're missing that.
We've traveled his whole career in this last month, you're right.
Yeah. But think back to...
Nobody
Eat, Drink,
cooked
Woman.
Anything in Life of Pi. Not a single thing got cooked.
Siraj's lips got cooked. that boy needs some lip chap.
Yeah. That was tough. Also, Gerard did budge you on the ship.
When
the mom's like, I'm a vegetarian.
He was just serving. And he was like,
he was serving there. That's true.
Oh, he's serving.
he ate and left no crumbs of weird gravy.
That's true.
Oh, no.
Yeah, what a strange discussion to have.
Yeah, I think, again, it was a metaphor. Basically, everything in this book is a metaphor.
Metaphor.
I have to say it like that, I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah. Aang.
Dang.
Dang. I think I have to watch Gemini Man though now.
Do you know what you don't need to watch? Is Taking Woodstock.
Yeah. I probably won't.
He leans stylistically again, like really split screeny. Mm. It's just like, you can't miss a stitch of this. I'm like, I could. I could do that.
I wish I had.
Is it? And that's Dimitri Martin is the lead.
Dimitri Martin is the lead.
Is he funny?
Nope. Jonathan Groff is in it in the worst performance I've ever seen him in.
Oh, I'm sure.
As a weird hippie. What's her face? Mrs. Umbridge plays his mom.
Oh, Imelda Staunton.
Imelda Staunton plays his Russian immigrant mother, who she slays pretty well.
You're like, actually.
I can't hold it against her. She does pretty well. But
Imelda does look good work.
It just is like, it's kind of a Wikipedia entry. It's kind of like, why? Paul Dano's in it and in a bad role, too.
Are you not a big Paul guy, though?
Are we off Paul right now?
I'm kind of always off Paul.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
I've never really felt it.
We're kind of Dano heads, right? Well, are you in the middle?
I feel like he's done a lot of great work.
Yeah, I love
him. I feel like he's...
I'm here for it.
Well,
Dano-mate.
I'm Dano. I'm down on him.
He's
down
very
on Dano.
Awkward. Like, that's, he's bringing that to the party every time.
Yeah.
Him and Elijah Wood could have a little convo about that, eh? Honestly, like, Toby, too.
In the Drink Your Milkshake movie, I guess he's pretty good.
Drink Your Milkshake
movie. But I Drink Your Milkshake.
Oh, right. There Will Be Blood? Or no? Yeah, there No will Country be blood. For Old yeah. Men.
No, There Will Be Blood.
Okay.
There Will Be Milkshake.
There Will Be Milkshake.
No Country is Josh Brolin.
Right.
Anyway, it's about about them putting on Woodstock, and I can't. Oh, a Gummer is in it too. Meryl Streep's daughter, terrible.
Mamie.
I
didn't even know what he just said. I did not know what those words.
Yeah, meant. I did go in a different direction.
Her ex-husband Don Gummer.
Sorry to this man.
Gosh. Because now she's maybe. Now she's
if I were him, I would have taken Streep.
For sure.
100%. I wouldn't even know that.
Well, yeah. Gummer or Streep? Choose Streep.
Easy choice.
Gummer, yeah. Streep.
Gummer, Streep.
No, I wouldn't even high-five. I would just Streep it.
Gummer, I don't, the Gummer's.
Well, no, I would have a t-shirt that says, I married Meryl Streep, and just wear that every single day.
I thought you were going to say a t-shirt that just says Gummer Streep.
That's what I thought you were going to say, too.
That's a pretty good t-shirt, actually.
Is it, Sean?
I think it is. I would like it.
I think I would wear that t-shirt.
Okay.
I wouldn't be into explaining to everyone what was happening, but I would wear that t-shirt.
Okay.
The people that get it, get it.
Yeah.
The people that get it.
The people.
It.
Last thought.
I
want to reread. I want to reread Life of Pi now.
Oh.
That was.
Did you say Life of Pi?
Life of Pi. Yeah, I think I did by accident.
I had some flashbacks that were pretty negative while I was watching.
Oh.
Yeah, no, I was not into it.
Not High school me. Was a hard time for you.
Oh, not for me. And with that, that's all the time we have. We're not going to delve into Jeremy's high school days.
We don't have time.
I'd like to give a shout out to the Garys for the use of our theme song, Manitouna. My co-hosts, Sanj, Sean.
That's all.
Everyone at CJTR and to our listeners, Spoiler Alert is broadcast live Wednesdays at 6 p.m., rebroadcast Fridays at 3, and is available as a podcast on CJTR's website. We're on Twitter and Instagram. We'll see you next week. Coming up next, some great CJTR content.
Bye.
Bye.